Turner Road, there has been an accident. Road Rangers and police on the scene working that wreck. 95 North at Norwood, we're looking at another crash. And at 95 South at San Marco, there has been an accident on the right side of the highway. Once the fog lifts, we're expecting around a 50-50 chance of rain and cloudy conditions, a high of 77. This evening, more fog and a low of 63. And right now, it is 64 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. While the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump also issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal civilian workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week. Does not affect military pay raises. AAA is reporting 75% of Florida gas stations are below $2.25 a gallon. GasBuddy.com says the least expensive gas in Jacksonville is $1.92 a gallon. And Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children while in the custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Good morning, Jacksonville. This is Kevin Derby on the Mighty WBOB. This is the Ed Dean Radio Show. I'm pinch hitting for Ed. I'm the editor of Florida Daily. That's www.floridadaily.com. I'm joined by attorney Ron Davis as we wrap up 2018 and look ahead to 2019. How are you doing this afternoon, this morning, Ron?
Doing well, doing well.
A ugly, foggy day out there this morning in Jacksonville. Just as ugly as the Jaguar football season, which limped to a pathetic close yesterday. A very disappointing year for the Jacksonville Jaguars, especially given the great start of the 2018 with the, you know, one base quarter away from the Super Bowl.
People get so emotionally invested over wins and losses. And you know what? It's great to win. I think it's probably more exciting if you're already kind of in contention for the playoffs. Mm. But once that happens, you know, I don't think people are that disappointed about yesterday's loss, because all that did was basically lower our pecking order in the upcoming draft.
It will make the draft all that more exciting for Jacksonville fans.
So look on the positive side.
Well, that's the thing. Uh-huh. Look, with a few exceptions, Jalen Ramsey comes to mind. I know how the Jaguars have drafted over the last 20-some-odd
years.
This is true. I mean, I don't think we're in the shape we're in if we actually could draft well.
The last couple of years have not been bad drafts for the Jags. If they can continue to build
that's
on that.
True, yeah.
You know, there's been, since Tom Coughlin got here, I think there's been a dramatic change in the way they approach and handle the draft.
Yeah.
Offensive line.
Yeah.
They've got to do something about this.
While Coughlin was away, though, we passed up Ben Roethlisberger, you know, which could have taken us to at least one or two Super Bowls, you know, all things equal. But, you know, at the same time, it probably kept the crime rate lower than it would have been.
No? Not a Pittsburgh fan, are you, Roger?
In football, there are teams you love and teams you hate.
Okay. I absolutely concede that. Okay. Absolutely concede that. Well, we're wrapping up 2018 here, looking ahead to 2019. And let's talk a little more about President Trump. Ron, what do you see as kind of where does President Trump go from here, so to speak? He's looking at Nancy Pelosi on the other side of the House now. Republicans still control the Senate. Interesting times to be sure. Ron, what do you see as Trump's agenda, so to speak, for 2019?
Well, in terms of the agenda, well, let's talk about, first of all, we're going to find out if he's actually capable of reaching across the line, because we do know that they are not.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think we're going to see the Twitter attacks. I think we're not going to see any change in the way outwardly he approaches it. The question is whether or not behind the scenes he can start forging some areas.
Prison reform was a big bipartisan issue.
And it was. And he was a leader in that. Look, the Democrats want the presidency in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They want the Senate in 2 years, and they want to strengthen what they've got in the House. So they're going to have to find some areas where they can work. I just don't think they're going to be able to resist the temptation to do nothing but endless hearings on Trump. That's what the media wants, okay, and that's what their base, which seems to be larger and larger, wants. But in terms of Trump, I think there's a couple of areas that I'm a little bit worried about in the world, and I think the Ukrainian issue is going to create some real problems this year. So the question is, how does he handle that? I think that he needs to maintain the stronger relationship with Ukraine.
Sure.
We cannot allow Russians to continue to do what they're doing up there. You know, there's some concerns with putting the bombers down here in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there are some real areas that we need to worry about. He did a great job, I think, last year. We're working, and I thought at least with North Korea and doing things that they're outside the box. Are we going to be able to continue is he going to be able to continue to forge those areas? Domestically, I think his job gets easier if these fuel prices stay low.
Sure, absolutely.
Because from my perspective, the biggest part of an individual's household income is affected by those fuel prices. They go up 50% or a dollar a gallon, and you know the average household is now down $100 or $200 a month that they've got to absorb.
It's kind of like having a pay raise when the gas prices are low.
Exactly. So if he can manage to do things to keep those fuel prices down, you know, in terms of his foreign policy, I think that will go a long way, and that will also, I think, help with job creation. If fuel is our biggest component. I mean, I saw milk the other day at $2.68 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to paying almost $4.25 a gallon. So when you start to see those things happen, you know, that's more disposable income. People have more to spend. I still don't buy the economy figures that everybody is high on the economy. I think there's still a lot of hesitation. Housing market's starting to cool a little bit, but you would expect that. I mean, it was getting a little bit out of control.
Really was.
If it doesn't tank, and I think if as long as the interest rates don't continue to go up, I think Trump has a lot to build on this year. Look, he is who he is.
Right.
I mean, I've always said I don't like what Trump says. I like what Trump does. And the people that voted for him knew who he was, and they knew his tone and his language prior to that.
No secrets you found out after Election Day.
No, and I don't think anybody's found out anything in the last 2 years about the president that they didn't know already.
That's right.
So or at least wouldn't be surprised by.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Well put.
So I think that he's got to maintain a strong presence globally, but at the same time, I just don't know where he's going to find these areas to work with Democrats. Immigration is a huge problem, and they have no interest in working with him.
They really don't. I'm curious where Trump – look, I do think he has to staff up the White House. That is a problem. You have too many positions that are vacant and left open. Now we're trying to find a defense secretary. Folks, that is a key position. My concern with that one, to be very candid with you, Ron, is going to be whoever he nominates. I'm not worried about the fire that nominee is going to get from the left. I'm really not. I'm concerned on the Armed Services Committee looking up at Marco Rubio, Florida's own Marco Rubio, Lindsey Graham, and other Republican senators. Let's talk about Syria. Let's talk about Afghanistan. What's the president doing? What's he not doing? Look, I Afghanistan, we've now been there 17 plus years now. The Taliban still controls 50% of that country. It is still one of the chief exporters of narcotics, of opioids in the world. You know, as exceptional as America is, we cannot escape history. Afghanistan has traditionally been the graveyard of empires. Alexander the Great, the Parthians, the Mongols, the Brahmins, the British in the 1830s, 1840s. This very week, 39 years ago, the Soviet Union.
Interesting.
You know, it is a tough place to conquer. It is a tough place to go to war. And we should have just gotten breaking up Osama and his circle and got out.
You know what? You make a very good point. America is really good when it comes to, you know, ending the regimes of the bad actors.
Yeah.
But we're not as good as rebuilding and nation building.
It's part of what we want to do
when we have to take military action. Then job two becomes let's try to model them after America. Maybe that's not our role.
It doesn't work. And look, one of the most unconservative things ever said by an American president to me was George W. Bush's comment, "Well, I'm looking for Thomas Jefferson and James Madison in Iraq." Folks, you're not going to find them. The Judeo-Christian tradition, the Greco-Roman tradition, you know, that is what makes the West special. And to be very candid with you, look, democracy is not man's natural state. It is tough. Republicanism is tough. It is not easy. Tyranny is easy. That's kind of, people get that. You know, that's the problem. And I think look, I think Trump absolutely beat Rubio and all those other Republican candidates in 2016 by saying we made a mistake. We absolutely made a mistake in the war on terror, the way we handled Afghanistan and Iraq. I think we're starting to see signs of that in Syria, in Afghanistan with the Trump administration. Lindsey Graham said he had met with the president at lunch yesterday. Oh, he doesn't really mean it about Syria, which sets off my warning bells, I'll be honest.
But you know what? Syria is a completely different situation.
Very much so.
It was why we went in under limited circumstances.
Sure.
And so it was never an intention to do what we did in Iraq and do what we, what we had to do in Iraq and what we had to do in Afghanistan. Syria was, are we going to push hard enough that that regime falls? ISIS was a convenient excuse at the end of the day for us to go in there and intervene where we always wanted to intervene. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it was always a limited conflict, and we were never going to be there a long time, and we were not there for nation building.
Right.
We didn't go there to topple that regime. There were two terrible regimes there.
Sure.
And that the one regime was bleeding over into Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problems at the end of the day with a Syrian withdrawal, because I don't think we have a very serious presence there compared to other countries.
Point well, very well taken.
So I think there's a lot of this, oh my God, he's doing it, you know, all this hand-wringing and whining and crying, but I think that's politics.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just something for the media to get upset about, something for everybody to talk about, but at the end of the day, it's a different situation.
Right. It is, and honestly, even if we did knock over the Assad regime, I think what would replace it would be probably far worse.
Yeah, now, ISIS granted, was standing in the wings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've been doing a tap dance with Russia the entire time there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, very well put. But it's an interesting scenario, to put it mildly, and we'll see where it goes. I do think, though, that whoever Trump nominates at the Defense Department is going to probably draw some fire from the left, to be sure.
Right.
But they will absolutely draw fire from the right. One name I'm hearing being kicked about is actually the chief story over the American Conservative, a former Secretary of the Navy under Ronald Reagan, a former Democratic presidential candidate, Jim Webb.
Really?
Could be getting that position. He did back Trump in 2016. It would be an odd choice, but weirder things have happened in politics.
All right, let's take a look at what's going on in the roads. 95 North at Lem Turner, there's been a crash. 95 South at the San Marco exit, there's an accident right at the off-ramp where the left lane is blocked this morning. And if you're in 10 going toward downtown, fog is slowing traffic down starting at around Cassett Avenue. Traffic brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time. And does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
God tells us that it is impossible for us to love Him and not love those around us, particularly our brothers in Christ. In John 13, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." See, listen, here's the deal. Can we love the unlovable so that as we attempt to be good stewards of our testimony, that those around us would see Christ in us?
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Find a new home through Home Finder Realty. Listing or buying a residential property or planning to build? Call Home Finder Realty. Home Finder Realty has multiple 3 to 4 bedroom homes available for rent in the Intercoastal area, many with community pools. A beautiful new 4 bedroom in Buccaneer Point, 4 bedroom with 3 car garage in Windsor Chase, 3 bedroom with second floor bonus room in Johns Creek. Rent a 3,100 square foot gorgeous 4 bedroom in Old Mill Creek between Town Center and Tinseltown. For information on these and other rentals, call Robert McDonald at Home Finder Realty, 241-5501 or HFRJax.com.
A foggy start to our day, but then the fog clears. We're expecting a cloudy day and a high of 77. 50-50 chance of rain expected. This evening, more fog and an overnight low of 63. And right now, it's 66 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. AAA is reporting 75% of Florida gas stations are below $2.25 a gallon. GasBuddy.com says the least expensive gas in Jacksonville is $1.92 a gallon. Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children while in custody of Customs and Border Protection. And while the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump also issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal civilian workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Good morning, Jacksonville. This is Kevin Derby. I am the editor of Florida Daily, floridadaily.com. I am hosting the show today as Ed Dean continues to be absent. We are counting down the last hours of 2018, looking ahead to 2019. And joining me is attorney Ron Davis. We're glad to have him. And since he is here, I'm going to pick his brain. I think on one of the most it's an issue which is going to start. We're going to start hearing about this come this year, 2019 coming up, and it'll be on the ballot in 2020. Minimum wage. There's already John Morgan having gotten medical marijuana on the ballot, getting it passed with 71% of the vote in 2016, is now doing that with minimum wage, calling for $15 an hour. Ron, $15 an hour in Florida come 2020, we'll see where it goes. I think it's a jump ball. It's going to be an interesting issue to see where it goes. How do you see that kind of impacting Florida right now?
If it's on a ballot initiative, as an amendment, and this is the one thing that drives me nuts about Florida, is there's got to be some reformation. Our Constitution has now become just a regular bill.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked at how many constitutional amendments were added this election cycle. With the exception of one, and from my perspective, that was all legislative.
Yeah.
Every single bit of it. Minimum wage is legislative, but it scares me. I think historically most of the amendments don't pass.
Mm-hmm.
But this time we had all but one.
All but one. 11 out of the 12
and
passed.
That's scary. That frightens me, because then we're going to have amendments dictating our economic and our legislative policy, and the only way to get rid of them,
right,
is an amendment repealing it.
Once there was a voter initiative that's placed something on the Constitution, the legislature can't overturn that.
And that's scary. So that from the outset, that's my biggest concern with John Morgan getting involved with the minimum wage. I think he's emboldened by the fact that he can get by there. And it's an argument that appeals to, probably 35% of the population that are making below. But it's the one single thing from my perspective economically that's going to, a year and a half, 2 years after they've passed it, they're going to be miserable. They're going to be paying so much more for the goods. Their $15 is not going to be worth what their $9 was, before. And then what do you do? What do you do with the people that have been there that are making $15 or, $12, $15, $16 that have been there for 8, 9, 10 years? Are their wages going to then have to go up? I see it economically as a disaster, but politically, I see it as a hot potato topic, and it scares me with the way that Florida handles its amendments to the Constitution.
We really are going overboard with it, and you're absolutely right. I mean, some of the stuff we were looking at absolutely were stuff that needed to be handled by the legislature. Now, I do think the legislature, once the amendment passes, the legislature has an obligation to enact whatever we pass. I'll give you the perfect example. I think one area where the legislature dropped the ball was enacting Amendment 2, expanding medical marijuana. Nikki Fried, the one Democrat to win in November, made that her chief issue. And when 71-72% of the people vote for an amendment and they say, yeah, we voted for that, Tallahassee, you don't know better than us, someone has to pay the price. And unfortunately, it was Matt Caldwell, who I thought was eminently qualified to be agriculture commissioner, was able, unfortunately, pay that price. We have a call from Woody, who wants to talk about the minimum wage. Good morning, Woody. I hope your 2018 went well, and I hope your 2019 is just as good. How are you?
Well, I tell you, that last year was great, and the outlook for this coming year is really good.
Awesome. That's terrific.
I tell you, your guest said something that kind of made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up when he said that the minimum wage is legislated. Excuse me, but if I own a business, which I did at one point, if mm-hmm. I own a business, I should decide how much I pay. I mean, it's ridiculous to set a certain standard of wage for a lot of these businesses. And when you start raising the wages up, you start putting high school kids out of work. I mean, that's a learning wage. That's where people learn to work. And this garbage of, well, you can't support a family of four. Well, don't have the frickin' kids. But if you've been at a job for any time, you're not going to be making minimum wage as long as you're doing your work. I mean, this gets to a point where they're going to start putting businesses out of work, out of business, putting people out of work. It doesn't belong to the government. It belongs to the people, to the market.
And Woody, that was my point. My point wasn't that it's the legislature to decide, but the issue is coming up. And the question is, they want to put it, John Morgan and that part of the party wants to put it on a constitutional amendment. That frightens me. Versus, I think if that issue is to be decided, I agree with you 100%. The business owner decides what that business can afford to pay. But if it's going to become political, and I hope to heck it does not, that's a legislative function. And I believe in Florida's current environment, it gets defeated, which is why they're going to try to do end around the legislature and move towards the constitutional amendment, especially with as successful as they were this last election cycle. So I agree with you 100%. And I apologize if I kind of misstated that.
Yeah, it scared me there for a minute. I think we ought to give John Morgan about a $15 million tax incentive to move to another state.
California.
He actually already is in other states. I mean, He's a big player, at least legally, you know, in many of the states of the country.
Yeah, to quote ZZ Top, he's bad, he's nationwide.
but leave him out of this. Make him leave this one.
Okay.
Happy New Year, Woody. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, sir.
All right, here's what's going on the roads. 95 South at San Marco. There has been an accident there, and the left lane of the off-ramp's blocked. And if you're on Butler Boulevard going east at Southside, look out for a broken-down car.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. One of the biggest changes we've seen since I started working here in 1980 is how we have to travel to the world markets to buy. There are a bunch of things that cause this, but the biggest has to do with Underwood's quality standard. For example, in diamonds, we have to see and gemologically evaluate a diamond to see if it'll fit inside our stringent quality standards. If we're at the market, whether it's in New York, Hong Kong, Africa, or India, we have the huge selections to pick from, and our standard will never be compromised. We get the prices we expect for Underwood quality. And as a result, we control our diamond stock instead of a diamond dealer just sending us what he wants us to have, and we're able to offer these beautiful, carefully selected diamonds that we're proud to put the Underwood name on. And they're available right now at Underwood's in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Pontevedra.
After the long summer, your air conditioning and heat pump have been worked to the max. You'll want to make sure you have your system checked when the weather gets cool. Snyder Air Conditioning should be your first call for your preventive maintenance needs. Why choose another air conditioning company when you can choose Snyder? You can count on Snyder to properly clean and check your system. There's a big difference between checking your system and cleaning your system. Cleaning your system will extend the life of your air conditioning unit and will also save you money on your electric bill. And right now, with 100% financing available with approved credit, there's never been a better time to upgrade your system. Snyder Air Conditioning is a family-owned Daikin Comfort Pro and can fix and service any make or model. Snyder Air Conditioning is Jacksonville's number one residential air conditioning company and has been serving Jacksonville for over 40 years. Snyder Air Conditioning. Call today at 641-0600. Snyder Mann and Daikin. License number CAC 1813307.
Holiday season is busy, so let Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Tunis Restaurant, just west of I-295, offers dine-in or takeout. The original Kronos gyros, oysters, shrimp, fish, wings, and more. It's all at the original Tunis Restaurant. A pound of gizzards or livers is just $4.99, 30 jumbo shrimp for $9.99. Check out the new Sidewinder fries. Special discounts for military first responders and school employees. The original Tunis Restaurant, open 7 days a week on Facebook at ZBest The Original.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
A very foggy start to our day, and then it will be cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain. Our high 77 this evening, fog, and overnight the low 63, currently 66 at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show on WBOB. My name's Kevin Derby. I'm the editor of Florida Daily. I am pinch hitting for Ed, who continues to be out. We are counting down the final hours of 2018, looking back at the year that was, looking ahead to 2019, where it goes for the state, where it goes for the nation, where it goes here in Jacksonville. We're going to be having a mayor's election coming up. A lot of big issues still resolved. The Democrats taking the U.S. House. We'll see Nancy Pelosi back as speaker against President Donald Trump. You thought 2018 that was exciting? 2019 is going to be just as riveting as everyone looks ahead to the 2020 presidential elections. It's going to be an interesting year for all of us. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, we're back to being bad again. What can you say?
We have some optimism, Kevin. We're going to get better eventually.
Eventually,
be,
right?
You got to be loyal to your team. You know, a lot of teams, you know, they've been struggling, and then they finally get that Super Bowl ring, and it's all worth the patience.
Roger, yeah. You know, I've been here since 84, and frankly, I remember how much we wanted this team. And I am staying through thick and thin, no matter how bad we are. This is the Ed Dean Radio Show, and we'll be right back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump has stayed at the White House right through the holidays, saying he's just waiting for Democrats to negotiate an end to the partial government shutdown now in its 10th day. White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway is chiding Nancy Pelosi for vacationing in Hawaii during the shutdown. Describing it as a pause situation, Senator Lindsey Graham says the president is slowing the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Syria. A South Carolina Republican says he's pleased with that development. She's a grad student from Indiana. 22-year-old Alexandra Black was attacked and killed yesterday by a lion at a North Carolina wildlife conservatory. The big cat somehow got loose while an enclosure was being cleaned. On Wall Street, Dow futures up 247 points. S&P futures 24 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. 95 South San Marco exit. There has been a crash, and on the off-ramp, the left lane is blocked as a result. See lots of fog in the area that could slow you down. And 95 South at US 1, look out for something in the middle of the highway that cars are having to avoid. A foggy morning and then cloudy afternoon expected. A 50-50 chance of rain. We'll have a high of 77. This evening, more fog on the way with a low of 63. Right now it's 66 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bindging you this morning. Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children while in custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. While the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump has also issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal civilian workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week. And the Jacksonville Jaguars lost their final game of the season yesterday with just 5 wins and 11 losses. Quarterback Blake Bortles doesn't think the team will keep him next year.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Good morning, Jacksonville. This is the Ed Dean Radio Show on WBOB. I'm Kevin Derby. I'm the editor of Florida Daily. I'm guest hosting for Ed. Joining me in the studio is attorney Ron Davis, who we're glad to have on board here. We are looking at the ending of 2018, a year which saw the Jaguars struggle. They saw, and I can't believe I'm saying this, a Star Wars movie flop at the box office. And other things happened as well, including the Democrats taking over the U.S. House. We're also looking ahead to 2019 and where things go from here, so to speak. Sometimes the conversations we have offline, off the air, are more interesting than the ones we have on the air. And let's look ahead now. Let's talk about the Supreme Court. Ron, you're an attorney. Brett Kavanaugh, after a very bitter confirmation fight, was approved to the Supreme Court to replace Justice Kennedy. Will Donald Trump get a chance to name a third justice? I mean, there's already questions about Kavanaugh, including, let's just be very candid here, the Supreme Court had an opportunity to take a case looking at federal funding of Planned Parenthood. John Roberts, appointed by George W. Bush, and Brett Kavanaugh, backed by Donald Trump, basically said, nah, we're not taking that. Planned Parenthood can continue to have federal funding. And look, let's just be very candid. The continuing resolution championed by President Donald Trump and House and Senate Republicans includes funding Obamacare and funding Planned Parenthood. Now we see Justice Ginsburg. There's news about her health, questions about her health once again, just out of surgery. Do you think President Trump will get one more chance to name a Supreme Court justice in the next 2 years?
I hope so, but I think that's different than do I think so.
Okay.
If we're looking at Well, first of all, you look at the age of the other would be the liberal side of it, and I don't see anything from an age thing there that would suggest retirement. And I haven't seen anything on the health side of it other than outside of Justice Ginsburg, which would indicate any health concerns that might cause something.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of Ginsburg, it is interesting. I think this is, what, her third bout with cancer. And I know she's right back to work. I mean, it seems like the following week, the following day,
sure,
whatever procedure she has.
If I'm not mistaken, she actually voted on some ruling. She weighed in on it while, you know, awaiting surgery that very day.
But you know, she's fallen a couple times. She's broken ribs. And you know, when you reach that age and you start falling, you start hurting yourself. We hear those stories all the time. You know, the health just suddenly drops through the floor. Mm. You know, you'd hate to see it happen as a result of a death, somebody.
Right.
But you know, it's a good possibility. I would hate to imagine the confirmation process. If that were to happen on the conservative side or on the right side of the Supreme Court, again, I don't see anybody with any health concerns or any age issues that would suggest it. So. You know, it's going to be something to really watch the next couple of years, because, you know, the one that everybody looks at, and I think there was an article last week about how the cult of Ginsburg,
movie coming out about her. There was a documentary on CNN.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate to imagine what that confirmation fight would be. I think we have a very good idea who Trump would nominate, you know, and I think that's probably, truth be told, I would have rather seen her be nominated. I'm drawing a blank now. She was
classified as being too Catholic or something.
I thought she was probably the safer choice for Trump this last nomination process. You know, it's going to be, no matter who he nominates, it's going to be brutal.
Do you find the Democrats in the Senate, I guess the Republicans as well, once they have their, quote, safe conservative or left-leaning justice, if that person is replaced, do they dig their heels in and want to have someone who at least is somewhat liberal or conservative, and they see that as being their seat, so to speak? Or do, no matter who it would be, they're going to dig their heels in.
Yeah, no matter who it is, they're going to dig their heels. Mm-hmm. What I would like to see if this is going to happen is I would like to see it happen the next 2 years, because right now, the last confirmation process, as brutal as it was, it came down to really one vote.
Right.
You know, maybe two. We've now alleviated that problem with two additional senators.
Right.
So I think that gives the Republicans and President Trump the cushion that he needs to survive that nomination process. And I, of all the nominees that were there when Kavanaugh was nominated, I think all of them can go through.
True. The one thing I'm worried about is now we're starting to see some lame duck Republican senators. Lamar Alexander, for example, announced his retirement. I'll be curious to see if there's, you know, Susan Collins is going to be facing the heat come 2020, Murkowski in Alaska. I'll be very curious to see where they go. McSorley, who took McCain's spot, I'll be curious where she goes. She was not exactly impressive on the campaign trail, trying to keep that seat in the Republican fold. So that is going to be interesting. I do think there's enough of a cushion for the moment. But
that's what I'm saying, the next two years.
Weird things happen, though, in the Senate. You know, I'm a firm believer in Sam Rayburn's old line that if you left the presidency in the hands of the Senate, you'd have a 100-vote tie, essentially.
And McSally, though, McSally's going to have the advantage of running as an incumbent.
That's true. That's absolutely true. But this is a very new thing in American history. The losing candidate in a Senate race now is sitting in the Senate. That's going to be interesting. And we'll see how Arizona voters react. Hey, we didn't want her. We had a chance to vote for her. We didn't. Will they say it as an insult? Will they say it as, well, she deserved the silver? That's going to be interesting to see how voters over there come. And look, let's be very candid. Arizona, Barry Goldwater state. I hate saying this. I think it's going to be a swing state come 2020. I think that's going to be one where the Democrats are absolutely going to press their advantage and see where they go. And look, there aren't many targets for Republicans. Maybe New Hampshire. You're starting to see, because the Republicans picked up two congressional seats there, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Walter Mondale's home base of Minnesota. That's absolutely going to be, I think, on Trump's radar screen. That's going to be the state they're going to go after in 2019, 2020, as they look to flip a state from blue to red in that presidential election.
Wisconsin's going to be interesting to see what happens there. They're back to a Democratic governor.
Absolutely. And look, the Republican legislature voted to give that governorship less power. We'll see how that works. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, Scott Walker, who just got tossed, was a folk hero to Republicans. And I'll be very candid. Walker, his star descended quickly because he ran a disastrous presidential campaign. It didn't work. If looking ahead to Florida in 2020, the presidential election is going to be the main event. But I think you're absolutely right talking about the minimum wage amendment, other potential constitutional amendments. That's the undercard. Because I'll be honest, Ron, I'm looking at this state. There's not much in the way of competitive congressional elections coming up in 2020. The ones that we thought were going to be competitive in 2018 for open seats, not that competitive. Maybe there's a retirement or two. Ted Yoho, for example, has said when he ran in 2012, said, I'm going to serve four terms, no more than that. That might change. Ted is in line to lead Republicans at the Foreign Affairs Committee. He's a contender for that position. You know, if the Republicans have a chance, I mean, that's the opportunity to wield a gavel. I understand that might change his position. I don't see that seat going blue. That's Clay County. That goes all the way to Gainesville. It's a red seat. But that's a possibility for retirement. There are other ones as well, but not many. I mean, Florida's going to be it all comes down to the presidential race in 2020, no Senate race.
No, I agree. It's going to be interesting to watch South Florida in the congressional races in 2020. If as I suspect, the Democrats spend the majority of their time, or at least from the media's perspective or point of view, on impeachment, I think there could be a lot of seats that were just recently taken by the Democrats in the South Florida area. If they get involved on the far left side of the politics, I could see those seats being in danger and up in play.
That'll be interesting. Look, Hillary Clinton won Ileana Rose Latham's seat. She's retiring after 29 years in Congress. She won that seat pretty handily, like 60-40. That seat's now held by Donna Shalala. Republicans thought they could beat Shalala. You may remember her. She was Health and Human Service Secretary under Bill Clinton. She led the University of Miami as president for a while. The Republicans ran a candidate, Maria Elvira Salazar, and their whole issue was basically, well, Donna Shalala is backed by Barbara Lee, who likes Castro. She's pro-Castro. Only one problem. Maria Elvira Salazar, when she was a journalist, had very fawning interviews with both the Castro brothers. Oops. The other one they flipped was Carlos Curbelo C. Curbelo's, I like Curbelo. He was an anti-Trump Republican, but he was also a guy, in his second term, was already making headway in the Republican leadership, was on Ways and Means, was an up-and-comer. He got knocked off in a pretty Republican district. That one, I think there's a play, but Curbelo is running for mayor of Miami. He doesn't seem to have any interest in going back to Congress. I think there's a chance there, but the Republicans have to find the right candidate to knock off Debbie Mascaro-Powell, who's a freshman. She'll be coming in. The other ones, though, I think Mike Waltz, that seat's going to be pretty red. Charlie Crist, I hate saying this. You know, he won 52-48 in Tampa Bay in 2016. The Republicans didn't even run a real candidate against him. He won by 16%. Stephanie Murphy, leader of the Blue Dog Coalition now, she upset John Micah, who used to represent St. Augustine, a large part of our listening audience. She knocked him off in an upset in 2016. The Republicans got the candidate they wanted, a Republican state representative, Mike Miller. This is their one chance, and she beat him by 15 points. That one, I think, is pretty secure, but we'll see where it goes. I will say keep an eye on Polk County, Adam Putnam's old seat. Ross Spano, the Republican, has admitted now numerous campaign violations. Oops, sorry, I basically took friends' monies and used it for my campaign and didn't tell anybody. That one, Democrats have a chance, but that's also one where the Republicans might knock him off in a primary. There's a lot of Republicans aiming for his blood after what he did. So we will see. We will absolutely see. But, of course, in Jacksonville, the main event, let's just be very candid about this. We're already seeing attack ads being run this morning.
Unannounced candidates.
Against unannounced candidates. What is the mayor's race for 400, Alex? No pun intended. That's going to be the political main event here in Jacksonville. It's going to be the mayor's race. So it's already starting to look ugly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, though. I think, you know, a lot of people, especially political hack types, they actually find some entertainment in it all. And, of course, you know, very important issues and seats are decided as a result. But we'll see how things turn out.
Absolutely. It's going to be an interesting year regardless at the state, national, and here in Jacksonville at the local level.
All right, 95 South at San Marco Boulevard. There's been a crash. We're counting at least three cars. The off-ramp left lane is blocked there. I-10, Butler Boulevard, and 295 are currently problem-free.
Are you frustrated with your office coffee service, your vending machines, micromarkets, or water coolers? Hi, I'm Townsend Russell, owner of Florida Best, vending, micromarkets, and office coffee service. If you are frustrated with your vending machines or micromarket, if you are unhappy with your office coffee service, if you do not like your water coolers, then let us show you how we can take what is causing you frustration and turn it into something that brings you joy. Florida Best Vending, micromarkets, and office coffee services. Family owned, professional, high integrity, and simply the best. FloridaBestVending.com. That's FloridaBestVending.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle. And done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor for crying out loud. Florida State License CGC 152-6479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
Single-family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, a.k.a. retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. Meet Del's team live in Jacksonville, one day only, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Jacksonville Riverfront, Saturday, January 19th from noon to 4. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. That's retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
A foggy start to our day, then cloudy by afternoon. We'll have a high today of 77. This evening, more fog and a low of 63. Currently, it is 66 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. While the federal government remains shut down over border wall funding, President Trump has issued an executive order temporarily freezing federal workers' pay raises that were to take effect later this week. The raise freeze does not affect uniform members of the military. AAA is reporting 75% of Florida gas stations are below $2.25 a gallon. GasBuddy.com says the least expensive gas in Jacksonville is $1.92 a gallon. And Senator Lindsey Graham, who will likely be selected as the chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee next month, said that there will be hearings into the deaths of migrant children while in the custody of U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Good morning, Jacksonville. This is Kevin Derby. I'm the editor of Florida Daily. I'm pinch hitting for my friend Ed Dean. He'll be back soon. Here we are on WBOB. Joining me in the studio is attorney Ron Davis. It's always great to see him and get his insights. We're saying farewell to 2018, saying hello to 2019. Ron, if I put a gun to your head and ask a complete curveball of a question, what do you see as kind of the underreported stories, the overlooked stories of 2018?
You know, as odd as it sounds, I still think it's the economy. I think that the media has been dragged kicking and screaming to talk about it because they have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it's the most underreported as to how successful and how strong it has been. I would have to probably say that's been the most surprising. You know, the midterms, I'm surprised that more people did not run on the economy. One of the things was like DeSantis's campaign, Scott's campaign. It drove me nuts. A lot of times Scott had what I thought was a lot of success on the economy, and he didn't talk about it on the campaign trail. DeSantis didn't run that, you know, hey, look, Scott's policies are what my policies are, and I'm going to continue those good policies. So I don't know if that was the economy. They were afraid to run on the economy, but from my perspective, that's been the strongest point on this. I don't think the strongest point is the stock market. I think there's been too much emphasis, especially by Trump,
absolutely,
on how the market performs. I think he uses it to generate the perception, but I think it's underreported, quite frankly, because the media doesn't want to give President Trump any credit for something that's going good.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. The economy was underreported. And frankly, surprisingly, here in Florida, as you nailed it right on the head, the economy is continuing to roar here in the Sunshine State. Look, my lead story today at FloridaDaily.com talks about Rick Scott's record. You know, when he came in, when Charlie Crist left at the end of 2010, Scott came in at the start of 2011, unemployment was 11% in this state. Now it's 3.3%. Tourism, record high number of tourism. Now, look, I think I do nail Scott in a few areas. I think the economy needs to be diversified a little bit in Florida. I think we're still too dependent on tourism. I think we're still too dependent on real estate, still too dependent on agriculture. But I think Scott put some of the seeds for the future growth. And I think we kind of underreported this at the state level, making colleges more affordable in this state, the $10,000 challenge. Look, colleges and universities, and I'm saying this as someone who was in administration higher ed for 10 years, including here at Jacksonville University and Edward Waters College here on the First Coast. Colleges and universities, they're, you know, cost, tuition hikes, everything else, expenses, way out of line with where inflation is. We're out of line where salaries are. Rick Scott basically said to the Florida college systems, look, offer marketable four-year bachelor degrees where people can get good skills for jobs. Make it under $10,000 a year. And, you know, it is absolutely something that's going to keep students here in Florida. You know, we are now the third largest state. We are going to continue to grow. How do you retain the population you have? And I think that's what Rick Scott was doing looking ahead. You know, I do think there are things Scott left over, which frankly he needed to address. The state budget was $66 billion when he came over. He's leaving with $89 billion. And a large part of that's Medicaid, but it wasn't helped by 2014, 2018. Whenever he's running for office, more free education, more free environment. I think he needed to do more public pension reform. I still think we are sitting on a ticking time bomb with citizens' property insurance. You know, that should be the insurer of last resort. That's, I think, a problem. We are one major storm in this state from being wiped out economically. We really are, from bankruptcy. Those are the issues. But you know what? I wish he had done more for that, but I can't complain all in all. You know, I think Scott, he's not one of the great governors like Napoleon Broward or Leroy Collins, even Ruben Askew, but I think history is going to treat Rick Scott very, very kindly. I think it was a phenomenal record, and you're absolutely right. Ron DeSantis should have talked more about the great economy in Florida. And even Scott, on the campaign trail against Bill Nelson, I kept wondering, why isn't he talking a little bit more about it? Now, part of that may have been the hurricane. Yeah, I get that. And I will say Scott's leadership in Hurricane Michael was exemplary. He's always done a very good job of leading this state in those kind of disasters. But I really think I was surprised, because that's his bread and butter. It's what he beat Charlie Crist on in 2014. It's what he beat Alex Sink on in 2010. It's what he upset Bill McCollum, who is basically beloved by Florida Republicans till that primary. It's how he's able to upset them, and he seemed to go away from it. I was very surprised by that.
What a lot of people find refreshing about Rick Scott is that he's not the typical political type. You know, he doesn't look into the camera, bite his bottom lip, and give you warm, fuzzy feelings on the inside. No. To be frank with you, a little scary looking, but he brings results. And I think people are looking at the report card and the fact that job growth, the economy is just bustling along, even reaching out the Hispanic vote.
Absolutely.
He was, I understand, heading down to Puerto Rico in the wake of Hurricane Maria there at least weekly, and providing as much assistance to those who are coming here, allowing their professional licenses to be considered valid by executive order in the state of Florida. And people think he's done a good job, even if he's not necessarily the most, you know, the best communicator.
Yeah, he is a very awkward figure, and his opponents call him Governor Voldemort for a reason. He does resemble the Harry Potter bad guy.
Yeah.
But I will say Rick Scott has done a very good job, as you noted, Roger, reaching out to the Puerto Rican population. Look, people are, they all thought, well, after the hurricane, that's, we're going to see his growth in Puerto Rican population in Central Florida. Folks, they've already been here. They've been here for 10 or 15 years.
Exactly. And see, the help that he was providing to those who were coming over recently, yeah, people were saying it's only, you know, about, what, 10, 30,000, whatever it might have been,
sure,
if they were going to go back. But his help with the people who were there resonated with the Hispanic population that was already living here.
Absolutely. And look, that Puerto Rican population in Central Florida is continuing to grow. Everyone's like, well, where do they come from? Well, I'll tell you where they came from. They're working in the hospitality industry in Orlando, Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, the Rosen Hotels, everything that dots I-4. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a Puerto Rican population there. Why? They speak English. They speak Spanish. And we have so much of this state, you know, relies right now on international tourism, international dollars,
mm-hmm,
whether it's the port here in Jacksonville, its connections, whether it's the cruise line industry in South Florida, whether it's connections. Florida is the crossroads of the, mm-hmm, Americas, and increasingly that's led a large segment of Cuban Americans and Puerto Rican population to be here in, mm-hmm, in Florida. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you speak to something that a lot of people may not realize. Yes, Spanish is what Puerto Ricans,
sure,
speak, but they also speak English. They're two official languages in Puerto Rico, and that's English and Spanish. They're bilingual for the most part.
Absolutely, and they've been American citizens since 1917. I mean, it's let's be honest, they're here, they're Americans.
All right, let's take a look at what's going on the roads, 95 South at San Marco. There's been a crash this morning, counting at least three cars. The off-ramp's left lane is blocked there, and 295 North going into Orange Park on the Buckman Bridge. Look out for something that's blocking the road. It looks like a broken-down truck from what we can tell.
I'm Bob Agnew in for Lou Dobbs. Wall Street ready to sing Auld Lang Syne. Mortgage rates drop as 2018 ends. Tide redesigning its packaging for Amazon. Those stories next.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way.com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
Today is the final trading day of 2018, and many stock market workers may be happy to see December in their rearview mirrors. The wild upswings and sell-offs have put a damper on the year-long market trends. All major exchanges will be closed tomorrow in observance of New Year's Day. Normal trading resumes on Wednesday. As 2018 drew to a close, long-term mortgage rates fell during the final week of the year. Freddie Mac reports that the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage dipped to 4.55%. Industry observers say the new rates offer a slight degree of relief for would-be homebuyers. Tide laundry detergent will ring in 2019 with newly designed packaging that weighs less, so online giant Amazon can cut the shipping costs. Please join us for Lou Dobbs tonight at 7 and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Ramona Flea Market has stuff. New stuff, used stuff, fun stuff, kid stuff, stuff to put stuff in, stuff to build stuff with. And who needs all that stuff? You! And what do you do when you have too much stuff? Sell your stuff at Ramona Flea Market. Open every Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Book your space now. Call 904-786-3532. Ramona Flea Market, Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295.
To bypass the CNNs and the MSNBCs, to bypass the New York Times and the Washington Post, ABC and NBC and CBS. There's some fellow conservatives out there who are very troubled by this. They haven't even acknowledged what just took place. It's okay. They'll learn to understand. It's not about personality. It's about liberty. That's our watchword, liberty. And I'm very excited about this.
Mark Levin on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
A foggy start to our day, and then it will be mostly cloudy and a 50-50 chance of rain before the day is up. We'll see a high of 77 this evening. More fog expected with a low of 63, and currently it's 66 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB, spanning across Jacksonville on the First Coast. This is Kevin Derby, the editor of Florida Daily. I'm pinch hitting for Ed today. Joining me in the studio is going to be Ron Davis, an attorney in the local area. And we are going to be taking your calls, taking your questions, as well as talking issues as we look ahead towards 2019 and put a bow and wrap up 2018. I hope you guys had a great holiday season. I hope you have a wonderful new year. Things are going well here on the First Coast. It's going to be an interesting mayoral election coming up. The Jaguars, well, 5-11, we're limping off once again. But kind of a disappointing year for the Jaguars after a great start of the season.
They'll do better next year.
Let's hope so. Okay. Absolutely hope so. With a new quarterback, probably.
We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening there. But always love hearing from you, so if you've got a question or comment, feel free to call in at 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. This is AM 600 and 101.1 FM, Talk Radio, WBOB.